Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and I'm an associate editor with Drug Topics. Today I'm joined by Crystal Zhao, associate clinical professor in the Department of Clinical Pharmacy at the University of California, San Francisco School of Pharmacy. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm very much looking forward to our conversation today.
Awesome. So before getting into our discussion, can you just give our audience a little more background on yourself and kind of where your career path has taken you?
Sure, most definitely. So I graduated from pharmacy school back in 2015, and I did a general residency followed by an ambulatory care residency up at the University of Washington in Seattle. And after that, you know, I had always thought I was going to be an ambulatory care pharmacist for a while, like at least 5, maybe even 10 years. Before going into academia, I knew that I wanted to teach and I knew that I wanted to precept and make that part of my career. I just didn't think I would get into academia so early on. But it just so happened that after I finished my residency, or kind of, I guess, towards the middle of my second year residency, an opportunity opened up at UCSF for a faculty position. And I know for those who are on faculty at the different schools of pharmacy, these positions don't come up very often. So I was like, wow, this opportunity is opening up. Maybe I should just take it. And I did. I interviewed for it and fortunately was able to get one of the positions. And because of that, I've been afforded the creativity and the time to kind of do what I really love doing, which is bringing pharmacy management into the community setting.
Great pivot into our discussion around the CUT hypertension program. So we can really get into that and talk about your work as lead pharmacist with that program. Can you start by discussing what the CUT hypertension program is and how it came to be?
Sure. Yeah. So the CUT hypertension program is actually a community-based barbershop hypertension management program. And so the CUT hypertension team, which is very, very small right now. So it's just myself, the pharmacist. We have a program coordinator and then a lead physician who is our supervising physician. It's basically the three of us. We provide training to barbers who work at different barbershops who are interested in participating in our program to provide health coaching to the clients in their barbershops who might have high blood pressure. And so as part of the program, we provide the health coach training for our barbers, and it's a very dense training, actually, for someone who's not a healthcare provider. We go over what is blood pressure, what is high blood pressure, how to screen and actually measure clients' blood pressures. And then also we provide them some key talking points for what if a client comes in with high blood pressure, what do you say to them? What types of questions do you ask? So that's a major part of our CUT hypertension program. And then on the other side, we have myself and the program coordinator working actively in the community. Sometimes we'll be doing blood pressure screenings if we're in the barbershops, but mainly my role is to manage hypertension in clients who have high blood pressure that have been screened positive, either by the barbers themselves or the coordinator or myself. And what's great about this program is I have a collaborative practice agreement with the lead physician. And I'm able to prescribe medicines. I'm able to order labs for the clients who come in with high blood pressure that I'm actually managing their medications for. So I think the program, we try to make it as holistic as possible and connect with their primary care providers as well. So their medical team is also in the loop. How it came to be is a very interesting question. It took us quite some time to launch the program. And I want to say it first started probably in 2018 or 2019. There was this physician that I was put in contact with, Kenji Taylor, who at the time was the chief family medicine resident at UCSF. And he had already established some relationships with barbershops in San Francisco. There were two of them that he was working with. He was teaching the barbers how to do blood pressure screenings. And so really what he was missing was a pharmacist and a coordinator to get this program rolling and on the road. So we were planning up until right about before COVID hit, and our launch date was actually a date in March of 2020. And so, because of that, we had to delay our program. We didn't go into the barber shops for about a year, actually. And as you know, COVID was a really dark time for many people, but especially barbers, because they couldn't work in person. Some of them were cutting hair in their basements to try to make money. There was no other source of way they could bring an income for their families. And so when they reopened, it was a very different scenario. The barbershops were no longer these social spaces where people could come and gather and, just hang out, see their friends, meet them. Now everything is appointment-based. So the crowds at the barbershops have significantly decreased. I think now that people are feeling more comfortable with COVID, the crowds are increasing again. But because of all the appointments, we kind of had to shift gears for our cut hypertension program as well and turn it into more of an appointment-based system. And initially, when we first returned to the barbershops, it was July of 2021. COVID was still such a hot topic of discussion that we actually pivoted. Our program ended up providing COVID vaccines to patients and clients coming into the barbershops. And interestingly enough, I ended up vaccinating a lot of the barbers in the shop that I was at because they just didn't have time to go get their own COVID vaccines. So the program has come a long way. Now we are back to doing more hypertension work and managing hypertension. And we've partnered with about 14 barbershops in the Oakland side of the Bay Area. And we've expanded to about three, possibly four in the San Francisco area.
Awesome. That's really great to hear. Outside of the direct communities that it serves in California, why might an initiative like this be important for healthcare or public health as a whole?
Yeah, I think this program is really just a model for how we can improve preventative services. So we're using the barbershop because this has been a tried and true published way of improving blood pressure that's been shown in the New England Journal of Medicine. So we thought, hey, let's try to repeat the study. Let's try to see if it's sustainable in our community up here in the Bay Area, because the study was originally done down in Los Angeles County. And so we brought it up here. And what we're trying to do is bring medicine to the community instead of the other way around. So, it could be a barbershop, it could be a nail salon, it could be a church, it could even be a grocery store. I think this model of bringing care into the community for the people who need it most is what's really important and could make a huge impact in public health and really improve people's blood pressures.
Awesome. Yeah, a barbershop is a big, it's something that everyone kind of needs in
Right.
society and communities. So really bringing those together is amazing to see. Speaking to you, your kind of your place within the program, what about it made you want to join as a pharmacist and your passions within your profession?
Sure. Yeah, my passion has always been to try to bring pharmacy services into the community. And when I first started at UCSF as an assistant professor, I didn't really know where that community spot would be. Initially, I was thinking community pharmacies, but over the years and even now more recently, a lot of community pharmacies have been closing. And so I thought, wow, we really have to pivot. Like, what are these more sustainable community spaces that are here to stay? And it just so happens, a year into my role here at UCSF, the barbershop study down in Los Angeles was published in 2018. And so I got together with Kenji, our original program founder, our current physician, Tem Woldesis, and we just brainstormed and thought about how we could actually bring this model to life here in the Bay Area. So it was really my love and motivation of bringing medicine into the community and just trying to innovate for pharmacists, because pharmacists are capable of doing so much more than just standing behind the counter at a pharmacy dispensing medications, right? Patients, even to this day, see us as like drug handlers. We just work in the pharmacy and we provide their drugs. It was really funny because I called a patient just a couple days ago, and this was one of my remote patients that I'm calling to manage blood pressure for. And it was a new patient that I had never met. And I say, I'm Crystal. I'm a pharmacist calling from the UCSF hypertension program. And he goes, "Oh, are you calling from my Walgreens pharmacy?" Because that's the first thing they think about when they hear pharmacist. And so I think as we continue to advance and move into the community to try to serve these more forward-facing, front-facing medication management roles, I think more patients will see us as part of their healthcare team and reach out to pharmacists for more questions. And that's kind of what's been happening. So anytime I introduce myself as a pharmacist at the barbershop now, they ask me all types of questions like, "Oh, should I be taking this medication? My friend's taking this. Should I take this medication as well?" So I think that's how I landed myself in this position. But the other thing I just wanted to share is that I'm an advocate for non-traditional roles. So I didn't want to take the easy way and just have a traditional ambulatory care pharmacist job. I was like, let's try to expand and think outside the box and see what else pharmacists are capable of doing. And again, because of my position here at UCSF, I think I'm very fortunate and able to meet the right people and make this happen.
It's really great to see. It seems like it really was a perfect storm and kind of getting this started. So whether it's your expertise in treating complications like cardiovascular disease or your forward-facing positioning within the community, how does an initiative like the Cut Hypertension Program highlight the importance of pharmacists within healthcare as a whole?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of patients still see pharmacists as these drug dealers or drug handlers that are just waiting behind the counter to give them their medications. But with these more advanced roles in the community, I think we can really reshape and rewrite the story of a pharmacist. Pharmacy management happens in a lot of clinics already. So in a lot of outpatient medicine clinics, cardiology clinics, even some specialty like transplant clinics, there are pharmacists there who see patients independently and they're titrating medications and ordering labs for them. But if you, as a patient, are in the community and you don't go to these clinics and you don't regularly see your healthcare team, then you'll never know that these types of pharmacists even exist. So I think the beauty of my role in the Cut Hypertension program is I am interfacing with community members who otherwise may not have even met their healthcare team, and they don't know about who else is on their healthcare team. I think of myself as an extension to the physician that I work with because when we work together, he's able to see his patients. I'm able to see the patients in the barbershop. We're able to be so much more effective with blood pressure management and also efficient, see twice the number of people in the same day as one person would be able to see. So I do think more roles like mine in the Cut Hypertension program would be very, very beneficial to the community and also helping to promote the role of an advanced practice pharmacist.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely agree. And people talk about it and they want to see it, but it's really just making that sustainable and kind of pushing that forward as much as possible. Cool. So
Right.
just wanted to dive a little more deeper and specifically into the barbershop aspect. Do you think that the uniqueness of your practice setting adds to the reward of your impact on the community? Or do you think, like, kind of on the other side, do you think it adds challenges that were unforeseen before starting the whole program? Like, you touched on some of the challenges like within COVID, but kind of, is it more of a reward or is it more of a challenge with it being in a barbershop?
When we first started even thinking about implementing these services in the Bay Area, we read the paper, we read the protocol, and we were like, how hard could this possibly be, right? They were so successful down in Los Angeles. Like, how hard could it be to implement it here? And we were expecting to roll out the program in a year, have patients, have sustainable funding, and we're not quite there yet. And we've been working at this since 2021. So I think we've run into a lot of barriers that I talk about that we just didn't anticipate until we got on the ground, like in the ground running and actually in the barbershops. So I think one of the first efforts to try to overcome some of these barriers was a really small study that I did at a San Francisco barbershop. And I basically had some of my pharmacy students go into the barbershop and ask some of their clients, What do you think of getting medical care in a barbershop like this? And the answers were a bit mixed. Some people were very open to the idea. They were like, hey, why not? Like, I could get my haircut and my health care at the same time. And it just so happens for a lot of Black men, they get their haircut very frequently, every 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the style of their hair. So it works really well for hypertension management. So we got some of those answers. And then on the other end, people were saying, oh, it's not really sanitary here in the barber shop. I don't really feel like it's clean. Like, I don't think it should be a medical facility. And they were the more traditional, like, I go into clinic to see my doctor, and that's where I get my health care. So it was a bit of a mixed grab bag at the conclusion of our study, which we did publish. And because of that, we're very careful about what we do in the barbershops. We have to be very cognizant about how the workflow matches up with what the barbers are trying to do and also the clientele. Like, are they even interested in getting medical care in the barbershop? But all in all, I would say that the work is very, very rewarding. And on a weekly basis, I'm in the barbershop usually on Fridays, sometimes Wednesdays. But I will meet people who have not seen their doctors in years. I think the longest was 7 years. And it was because she didn't like her primary care provider, right? Everything that the primary care provider said was not true, or the primary care provider did not want to listen to the patient. And so they just stopped going to see their doctors. Blood pressure was sky high. And a lot of these people end up just bouncing around urgent care in the emergency department because they don't have an assigned primary care doctor. So the work is extremely rewarding because part of my goal and our team's goal is to try to connect these patients with a primary care provider. So they walk into the barbershop and I talk to them and they tell me they don't have a primary care provider. That's my first top priority to get them connected based on their insurance plan. Surprisingly, a lot of them are insured. I would say about 95% of the patients I see are insured. They're just not fully taking advantage of their insurance program, which is a bummer. And I think more of them should. So that is our top goal, aside from treating their blood pressure. I can still remember very distinctly when I first started this program back in 2021, there was a very young gentleman who walked into a barber shop. And he didn't have insurance. He told us that he drove straight from Tennessee all the way to this barbershop because he had just witnessed his brother get shot in the chest and he didn't know what to do, very distressed and very high blood pressure. I mean, for someone who's 19 years old, a blood pressure of like 150 over, I think it was 90 something, is very high. And so during that visit, we just talk to him about high blood pressure, and luckily he was willing to listen and have the conversation. And at the same time, he was trying to find a community. And so this barbershop, some of the barbers in there recommended church groups that he could go to. They tried to connect him with other families that he could maybe live with for the time being. And so it's things like that that happen within the barbershop. It's such a great community for these clients that they come back. They come back to the barbershop, and when they come back, that's where the care can actually happen. If you see someone and they don't come back, then it's very tough to follow up on their health care. But if they come back, that's how you can really make sure they're checking all of their preventative care check marks. So it's definitely rewarding, but also some other barriers we've been dealing with more recently include funding. So just trying to find the funding mechanisms for all of us on the team. And then working with patients who are Kaiser patients is not very easy because they have a closed health system. And even with my collaborative practice agreement, I can't prescribe for Kaiser patients. So I've basically been messaging the Kaiser primary care providers on their MyChart to provide my recommendations. And then it's up to their primary care providers to actually prescribe if they want to. So yeah, we're trying to find ways to work around these barriers and also talk to different insurance companies about funding. We've tried applying for several different grants. Some have been successful, some have not been, but we continue to try to overcome some of these barriers.
Awesome. So yeah, so definitely the work's there, the vision's there, and obviously with anything starting new it is a big kind of leap of faith. So challenges are definitely going to arise, but you work through them. I think this has been really an amazing conversation, kind of touching on everything within the program and kind of outside of it. Basically, just to cap this off, as lead pharmacist in the cut hypertension program, what are your long-term hopes for this initiative?
I have many, many long-term hopes. One, I really hope that we can expand the program so that more patients in the community can benefit. We've even talked about maybe moving into nail salons to see if we can screen more women with high blood pressure. So, expanding the program, hiring more pharmacists who are able and willing to be in this role as an advanced practice pharmacist. And then, maybe two, is really to try to work with the payers on this program. So whether it be, if your patient has hypertension and goes to a barber shop, maybe they provide once monthly haircut vouchers for that patient. And then we will be in the barber shop managing their blood pressures while they get their haircuts. And this could even expand to diabetes, hyperlipidemia. It could expand to a lot of preventative chronic disease states. So I think that once we have this proof of concept ironed out, we're still trying to gather some data and some numbers for the payers that we're working with. I really think it would be beneficial to just partner long term with these insurance companies. And I think some of our biggest barriers right now to holding more health coach trainings and also equipment and paying for the blood pressure machines for the barbershops is just the consistent funding. And I think if we could maybe have a contract with some of the payers, that would definitely help with the consistent funding as well.
Awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time. That's all I have for you today.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the conversation, Brian.
Thank you so much.